see what happens with the next one.
There's another one coming, so, you know.
Yeah, next, a week from yesterday. Looking forward to it.
That's what they say.
Oh, boy. Good times.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, I'm doing great. Looks like the big hurricane missed us last weekend.
Yeah. Wiped out a bunch of people in like West Virginia though, which is weird. Like apparently, yeah, like Ohio and West Virginia and all those states up there like took a pounding because, you know, they're not used to hurricanes.
Yeah, that's true. I did see a video of a car on the freeway in your neighborhood.
Oh, geez.
Getting flipped over by a wind gust.
Oh, yeah. Typical.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got windy here. It was, we had five or six tornado warnings for the area starting at 3 a.m., and so, like, the phone goes off, and I'm up. And so, you know, trying not to wake the rest of the house up until it's, like, absolutely necessary. And just, you know, being glued to the TV of, like, the movement. And fortunately, technology these days, they can actually, like, scan for rotation and figure out where that's heading and,
right,
like, almost pinpoint the path. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's good in Florida that it didn't get hit directly since, you know, all the, well, I mean, part of it did, but not
Orlando,
your area.
The Central Florida did not get it, but no. Yeah, Panhandle got decimated again.
Yeah. But that's okay. The Republicans think that the Democrats did that on purpose.
I'm sure we did.
I mean,
I'm sure we did.
How stupid. Like, oh, they're using the weather technology. What weather technology? Why would we want fucking extreme weather to impact the country at all?
Right.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, it's just so stupid.
Well, that's their game plan, is to just keep spewing so much stupid shit that, you know, you're not even paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we've got, there's two amendments on the Florida thing. Amendment 3 is for legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
But it's also, you can only purchase it through state-approved companies.
Okay.
And they're saying, it's like, you know, this is how you can get the pure marijuana, and it's not laced with fentanyl, and it'll be so much safer for you. But it also means that, like, you can't, like, grow your own for your own use.
Okay.
Because it's basically creating a monopoly for themselves. And then the second one is Proposition 4,
yeah,
which is about abortion rights. And the commercial is just ludicrous. It's this woman talking about how the definitions in the bill do not get very specific. Like, it doesn't mention the word doctor anymore performing an abortion. So they're trying to imply that, you know, you can go down the street and, you know, some random person will give you an abortion at, like, you know, the free clinic or whatever. And that it will allow abortions at any point in the pregnancy up until birth.
Yeah.
Are you people stupid? Are you really, really stupid? Or you just don't want to think?
I don't know how anybody believes that whole thing of, like, up to and including after the child is born. And it's like, that's not a fucking thing.
Right.
Nobody has ever been like, oh, well, we're going to kill the kid. That's not a thing. But some fucking idiot started that and everybody ran with it, and it's like, that's not the way it fucking works. Oh, right? There was some governor who said the governor was fucking lying.
Right.
Like if there is an abortion in the 9-month mark, it's basically because the child is dead inside the mother.
Right.
Nobody's going up to the date of birth going, I'm not sure whether I should do this. Let's abort the kid now. It's not the way it fucking works.
No, but in Florida, you have to make a decision before the 6th week. And it's like most people don't even know they're pregnant by the 6th week.
Nope.
But it's, you know, it's the Republicans going for the evangelical Christians who are just idiots, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, they
definitely
are.
It's very crazy. Yeah. You know who else is an idiot now?
Who?
One more person to take off the list.
Uh-oh. Who?
Zachary Levi.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, what an asshole. No wonder your career's on the fucking toilet.
He's he was all like big RFK dude.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I guess he was at a rally this weekend on Saturday.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was at the rally in Michigan. My parents were Reagan Republicans, and they taught me to have a healthy level of distrust for the government and a healthy level of distrust for industry that runs amok. But yet you're backing somebody who wants to give industry tax cuts and doesn't want to do minimum wage and doesn't want child care and health care.
And doesn't know how tariffs work.
I mean, my gosh. Yeah, it's like, oh, my God. Just another fucking moron.
Yeah. I mean, and it's funny because when you see the celebrities that back each side, it's really apparent where, like, oh, you're batshit crazy. Like, all of the batshit crazy people line up behind Trump. And, like, you know, not that you should be taking voting advice from celebrities, because you should, by God, be doing your own research and, like, really looking at, like, what's at stake in this election. And how we got here and what's going on and with both candidates. And like, there's a whole thing that you should be doing. That's what it means to be a fucking patriot and vote. Not, you know, oh, this person, I like this person, but it is a good, seeing who is backing each side is a good indication on who's going to get my money as an entertainment consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, when I saw him with the RFK stuff and like, you know, knowing that, Zachary Levi is, anti-vax and was through all this stuff, but he has also talked about, having severe depression and taking medication for it. But so that's okay. But you can't you can't get an injection to save other people's lives. That's just fucking wrong, apparently. It just, I'm just like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. Like, and you're right. It's people looking at that shit and being like, I'm not going to go pay you fucking money to go see fucking Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Right.
Like, Shazam was okay, but like the second one sucked, and that's mostly because of you. Like, he's a fucking idiot.
Well, I guess the Cheeto was at some football game or something in Georgia this past weekend.
Yeah.
And he had the luxury box, and there's a picture of like all of the people in his box watching the game from the window. And it's Kid Rock, and it's Hank Williams Jr., and it's Herschel Walker, and it's Tommy Tuberville, and it's like, wow, if somebody would just feed them some bad shrimp, we'd be all set.
One well-placed hand grenade.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary. Because there's still those idiots who say, hey, I'm voting for a woman. Or I'm not going to vote because I don't like either one.
Yeah. When it absolutely affects you, whether you like them or not.
Right.
Like, seriously, like, if you don't get out and vote, then don't fucking complain when shit goes sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to go sideways. it's going to go sideways if the wrong person gets in.
Sure. And you're going to see just how fast you're going to lose all of your rights.
Yep. I mean, what you have to really look at, like the people that are undecided, look at all the people that worked closely with Trump in his 4 years in office who aren't endorsing him.
Right.
If he was such a good leader, why isn't any of those people endorsing him?
Right.
And, you know, fucking, I felt bad. Like, I don't know if you saw the footage of him with Zelensky from Ukraine.
Oh, my God. That poor guy.
Where he's standing there and Trump's going, oh, I have such a good relationship with Putin. And it's like the dude that's killing this dude's citizens.
Right.
And Zelensky was like, well, I hope you have a better one with us. And he was like, oh, we'll see. And it's like, you're a fucking asshole, man.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh, my God. No fucking concept of any decorum whatsoever.
No. But nobody's got him in check.
You know, Hannibal Lecter is such a good fucking person because Trump doesn't know what seeking asylum means. He thinks that that's somebody coming in from insane asylums looking to get into the United States. That's not what asylum means.
Well, you know, they're eating the dogs and cats, Chris.
Oh, sure.
Come on.
And
come
even
on.
Though they're here
we
legally,
don't need
he wants
here.
To get rid of them.
Right.
What the fuck? Because they're black. Mm-hmm. Because he's a fucking racist asshole.
There will be internment camps. This will be worse than World War II.
Yep. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know if I want to be in this country if he's fucking in there again.
Yeah, I know.
I definitely don't want my
daughter
here.
Look at options.
Here.
No, God, no. It'll be The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, for a dude that's supposed to be so smart that doesn't know how tariffs work, and for anybody who doesn't know...
He was a businessman. How can you not know how tariffs work?
Right, but if you think back to... It was right after 2020. It was right after as the world was reopening. If anybody tried to buy lumber, lumber prices were fucking insane. It was like $100 for a sheet of plywood. That is directly because Trump put tariffs on incoming wood.
Right.
And so the prices spiked up. So what do you think is going to happen when he does that to cell phones that are already fucking outrageous? What do you think he's going to do when he does that to food coming in? How is that going to lower the cost of food at the fucking supermarket?
Right.
Because he's not going after the rich people because he is the rich people.
Right.
So.
Well, is he really? No. I think he's just a grifter.
He is.
I think he's probably got a value of $2. If he needed $1 billion tomorrow, he would have no way of raising that.
Well, no, he couldn't pay the fines for his lawsuit.
Right.
You know, they were like, it was $500 million. And he was like, I can't pay that. And it's like, why? You're a billionaire.
Right.
And that's when they started to threaten, like, taking his buildings away. All right, well, we'll just take Trump Tower. That's got to be worth $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking, oh my God. I plan on voting early.
And often?
Well, no. I'm only allowed the one. And I will only do the one because I understand what the law is, but I do plan on voting early.
Right. I always do. It's just easier to know that it's done for.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and wade through the sea of deplorables to
nope.
cast your vote.
Nope.
But yeah, good times.
Yep.
We had a pretty big death this week.
Yes, we did. We did.
Huge.
In the land of Harry Potter, a lot of wands were raised to the sky this week. As Dame Maggie Smith passed away at 83?
90.
Wait.
Was it 90?
89.
89, okay.
89. And she died 1 year after Michael Gambon, who played Dumbledore.
Yes, to the day.
To the day, which is...
To the day.
Strange and amazing.
Right.
But yeah, huge acting career since like the mid-50s. I think her first credit is like 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from like Downton Abbey. You know, there was a bunch of stuff. I forgot that she was in one of my favorite movies as a kid. She was in Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Better Late Than Never. She was in Hook. She was Granny Wendy in Hook.
Yep.
Mother Superior and Sister Act. Like a ton of like major, major roles. And then, of course, Professor McGonagall in all the Harry Potter films.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that was, it's a very huge nerd loss for the community.
Yes. But not a tragedy. I mean, she had an amazing career.
She did. 89 is a decent run.
You know, she started when she was like 20.
Mm-hmm.
And she was working up until last year.
Yep.
And not just doing voiceover shit.
No, no. It always amazes me how long people go on camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's got one credit that's in production, so I don't know whether or not that'll be... whether she shot her stuff or whether that'll be recast, but...
A German Life?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Actually, she's the only one listed as the cast.
Oh.
So maybe it never even got that far.
Oh. I can't think that, like, she would have... Well, see, I don't know how old the secretary of Joseph Goebbels was. So maybe she was the... Maybe she was the cast.
Right, maybe it's a one-person show.
Maybe. Wow. But yeah, she was a... She'll be greatly missed, especially by the Harry Potter community. As when any Harry Potter actor dies, you know, they gather in a couple of places. They gather at the theme parks in California and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that they gathered at King's Cross in London and...
Oh, yeah.
...raised their wand to the sky. And then we just had another person die today.
We did?
John Ashton died, who played Taggart in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes. Okay.
He just passed away at 76. He was just in the Axel F movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first saw the name, I thought it was John Astin, and I was like, oh shit, that sucks. And then I was
wait,
like,
isn't he already dead?
Is John Astin dead?
It oh no!
Doesn't
it
have a death
he's
date.
Still alive? Nope.
But So John Ashton died, and he just completed two other things before his death. He wasn't in a lot of stuff that I guess a lot of people would have seen. He was in Gone Baby Gone. A lot of the stuff I don't think I'd ever seen. He did an episode of the Fantasy Island reboot in 99.
He did a lot of TV.
He did a lot of TV, but like when he came back in Axel F, I was like, oh, that guy. Like, he wasn't in anything that I was watching, for sure.
No?
No. But, yeah.
He was in Curly Sue.
I don't think I ever saw Curly Sue.
No?
No. But, I mean...
Meet the Deedles?
To be fair...
You know, and the funny part is, he's played a lot of detectives and cops.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely got stereotyped. And but to be fair, when he props up in Axel F, he does not look very well.
No.
So, not that I'm totally surprised. I didn't know he was 76 either, so.
76 or 86?
76.
I was born in 48. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
So we should go raise our badges up for him or something.
Stick a banana in somebody's tailpipe.
There you go.
I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. So, yeah, a couple deaths. Life's going to move on, as it always does.
Life keeps moving. Yep. Got to do what you got to do.
Yep. So did you watch some TV this week?
I did. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Agatha All Along.
Okay.
Did you watch this week's episode?
I did.
And what did you think of it?
I liked it, yeah. But it wasn't my favorite of the first three.
Okay.
I liked the fact that now they're being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute they walk into this house, they all, you know, change their appearances to, you know, look like they're on a Real Housewives episode or something.
Right.
I liked them escaping through the oven. I thought that was kind of cool. I hope Kitty's not dead.
I don't know, man. She looked pretty dead. I mean, and
that's sad. Only three episodes?
I did enjoy the idea that, you know, they're all having to go through this. They're all having hallucinations because of the wine. They're all seeing parts of their past that they don't really want to remember, which gives you a little more insight into their characters. We've been dropped this weird bombshell that Agatha had a child, and would she even recognize him if he showed up, which is a huge red herring for the teen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gotta believe that if the teen was her son and knew that that was his mother, he would be acting a little bit different.
Right.
Well,
but how old was he when she gave him up?
Well, how old was she when she had him? Because she's hundreds of years old.
Yeah, that's true too.
Like, so there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Deborah Jo Rupp is only credited on IMDb for three episodes.
Oh. That's too bad.
Yeah. But I liked them working together. I liked them having to figure it out. They don't have a cauldron, so they got to do it in the sink. But oh shit, the sink doesn't heat up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the kid knows that, oh, there's this thing that you can stick in a pot and make it boil. And, like, you know, I liked all that. I liked them having to work together. Suddenly the house is underwater and there's, like, a time constraint now. And why isn't it working? Oh, because Miss Hart is passed out on the table. Oh, we got to get her, too. And I don't know. I felt it was done pretty well. It's a good indication of like what the other tests are going to be, and are they going to lose people at each test?
Right. To where, is this going to be Squid Game for witches?
Kinda, where it comes down to Agatha and the teen, and you know, like Aubrey Plaza's there at the end too, because we know she comes back at some point.
Right.
I don't know. I'm definitely enjoying the show. Mm-hmm. Definitely feels Halloween, which I like. So, let's see where they go from here.
This has 6 episodes?
It's a total of 9.
Oh, 9. Okay. Yeah,
so we still have 6 to go.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the whole cast.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole plastic surgery curse was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
We now know that Mephisto lives in the realm of the multiverse.
I guess so. I mean, they kept saying it for WandaVision, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess Mephisto will make an appearance, maybe? I don't know.
You think Mephisto is Agatha's baby's daddy?
Maybe.
All in all, still very good. And still very different.
Yes.
So, I like that. I like that it kind of keeps you guessing and, you know, just keep building on that. Yeah. I mean, you would think there's a plan for Agatha in the multiverse, right?
If they're doing someday a TV she's show, gonna be in a movie? I would think so. I would think that this might be how they bring Wanda back.
Mm.
You know, I don't know. Or is it a thing where, like, we've got as good an actor as Catherine Hahn, we need to, like, do something with her and just not the one TV show?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, it also, like, Aubrey Plaza is a big enough name to be, like, well, why would she only be in, like, one TV show? Like, if they're going to bring her into like, the MCU. So maybe there's, like, an Agatha Wanda movie coming.
Ooh. War of the Witches.
Where it's, like, witches and, you know, magic and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That'd be very cool.
Yeah. Did you watch the episode of The Penguin?
I did.
And what did you think of that?
I really like it.
So do I.
I really like it. I mean, it kind of feels like this is what Gotham should have been.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the villains were always there. They just weren't as extreme until after, you know, after Batman showed up.
Yeah.
So there's so much that you can tell in that story.
And this very much feels like the Gotham version of The Sopranos.
Yes. Which is good, because that's what I wanted Gotham to be. I wanted it to be all about the gangsters and how they were taking over, and, you know, it never got that far.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that Colin Farrell needs some kind of recognition for him playing the Penguin.
Oh my gosh.
He's so good at this. And like, I know that he used the pain of like the fat suit in his portrayal of it. Like he was super uncomfortable and like he tried to get that through and everything. But he's so good in this. Like I can't even like put in the words how happy I am that they allowed this show to happen, because a lot of the other stuff tied to the Batman isn't gonna come to light. So the fact that they were able to do this, and like as good as it is and how good as he is, and like everything from the prosthetics to like the digital work on the digital work on like the city itself, so that it matches mm-hmm. what you saw in the Batman, is just fucking phenomenal.
Oh yeah. And it feels like it's it feels like it's very much a comic book video game.
Yeah.
In the way that they're showing the city, and the city is kind of a little washed out and gray and mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, really, really like this.
And I do like the idea, like in lots of portrayals of Gotham, it's just this gigantic city full of corruption and crime. And then like Bruce Wayne lives out in the middle of nowhere. See, is right. like what it seems like in a lot of the stuff. And they worked very hard in this first episode to show you that like there's the city, and then there's kind of like the boroughs, kind of like New York, where like Penguin's mother lives. And then right. you know, they have to take a train to get to there, and then they take a car to get to her house. But then there's, they go even farther out into the countryside, and that's where all the rich people live.
Right.
And it shows this kind of like where the levels of Gotham kind of sit. And I think that's very interesting, because I don't think I've ever seen that before. It's always been like the city and then Wayne Manor.
Right.
And even in like weird portrayals, like Batman Forever, where the Penguin and the Riddler show up. No, not the Riddler and Two-Face show up at Wayne Manor on Halloween. And mm-hmm. apparently Wayne Manor gets a ton of trick-or-treaters. Like that
all
was
the way
always
up there.
Weird. Yeah, that was always weird, because like they never showed how everything kind of sits together.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, it was very much like, oh well, Gotham is New York, and then you have like, you know, his mom lives in the Bronx or like Queens, and then further out, which would be like Long Island, is where all the rich people live.
Right.
And so like somewhere in there, there's Gotham Manor or Wayne Manor, and like, you know, even in the Batman, they don't really play with it as much as they do in this. And like, it just fleshes out the world to be so much better and so much more like believable.
Pennyworth was really good about that.
Oh, was it?
It really built that sense of city and how sprawling it was, and how diverse it was. There was, you know, there was the underground, there was the different clubs and stuff. I mean, it did a really nice job of building the city.
Okay.
And taking you to so many different places of it.
Okay.
And it also has pretty much the predecessors of the type of villains that would show up later in the Batman cycle.
Okay.
That they were not necessarily costumed, but they were still outrageous.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I really, really am liking it.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was really well done. I'm not sure why they released the first one on a Thursday, and then the next one is like a week and a half later.
Yeah.
Because I kept looking for it. I was like, when is this new episode going up? And then I looked on IMDb, and it was like, oh, it's on Sundays. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah. Yep, that's all they got to do.
Yep. Did you watch Only Murders?
I Steve Wonchily Murders.
And what'd you think?
I love it. I love the brothers who are sisters.
Uh-huh.
Which has got to be a slam against the Wachowskis.
I would think so. I would think that that's who they're trying to reference with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, though. I'm not sure what the reasoning would be. Other, I don't know.
I mean, unless it's just a very absurd idea, and it really has nothing to do with anything other than that it's just weird and stupid.
Maybe.
I mean, that's just it. It's weird and stupid, and maybe some people will get it, and maybe they won't, but it's making us laugh. And there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, another really well done episode. I liked the introduction of the author of the screenplay.
Yeah, and how he's like wearing
a
fake beard and...
Yeah, like he's trying to manifest what he wants to be.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
I saw that somebody has posted the theory that Paul Rudd's character isn't really dead. That it was actually the stunt double who got killed. So now he's taking on that persona to, you know, still be kind of connected to the whole, you know, podcast, blah, blah, blah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely an idea, I guess. And I've got to imagine that 90% of the things that come out of Martin Short's mouth is improv.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is just rolling with it.
Right.
Because I don't know what the impetus for that would have been, but like, it's way different than previous seasons. Like, his stuff before was a little bit more structured, and this feels like it's not. This feels like it's more just like off the cuff.
All right. Well, maybe in season four they're letting him get away with a little bit more.
Maybe. What else did you watch?
Well, Rings of Power.
Uh-huh.
This was, I don't know how to sum it up. It was kind of brutal.
It's so there's one more episode, and I feel like they took the page out of Game of Thrones, where like the big battle's going to happen in the penultimate episode, and then there's going to be some fallout from it. Because this is nothing but like one giant fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's movie worthy in the
and
the execution of it. It's definitely up there. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of brutality. It's orcs fighting. So, you know, there's a lot of carnage. There's a lot of the characters that we've been introduced to that don't quite make it. You know, the elf that's been running around, I mean, one of the problems with the show is I know barely anybody's name.
Right.
But he's got like the armor that kind of looks like wood.
Uh-huh.
He dies in this episode, and I was really kind of sad to see him go because I liked when he was on screen. I liked him as a character.
Right.
And he goes out trying to fight Adar. But it's definitely one of the better episodes this season.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like the storytelling. And one of the things that I really appreciated is lots of times in fight scenes that big, you get lost in the geography of where everything is.
Right.
And you don't really know where things are coming from or whatever. And in this, I felt very grounded in like knowing where everything was. I knew where the bad guys were. I knew the kind of the geography of where the city sat, where the forge is within the city. And when the orcs turn their trebuchets to not the city, their plan is to dam the river so that they don't have to cross the water. It's like, that's kind of an ingenious
right.
move. And you knew what kind of was going on. You didn't really lose focus of where everything was. And I appreciate that. That's good storytelling.
Because
way too often it's just about the spectacle of the fight as opposed to the geography of it. And this is very much a, let's plan this out and figure out where everybody's going to be, where everything is. You know, this is where the elves attack from. This is where the orcs are. This is where the people in the city are. And it just all kinds of works. Even to the point when like they're expecting the dwarves to show up and they see the one rider up on the hill, which is very, very reminiscent of the Two Towers when Gandalf shows up with the Rohirrim at Helm's Deep. And then it turns out that the dwarves aren't there. And I was like, oh, that's okay. There's some more conflict for next week then.
Right.
So I enjoyed that. Way better than this season of House of the Dragon. So I will take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten into that. I was good when Game of Thrones ended.
Yeah, I was.
I don't need to go back.
I like dragons. Did you happen to see the new Thunderbolts trailer?
I did.
It's very different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting where they go with this.
It's very much, I figured, with where you see some of the characters end up in the movies or the other TV shows, I wasn't expecting, I can't remember his name, fake Captain America.
Wyatt? What's his name?
John Walker. Like, I wasn't expecting John Walker to be chilling at home with his kid. Like, for some reason, I expected, Julia Louis-Dreyfus to show up at, like, the Raft prison and be like, I've got a mission. Do you want to get out of here? Do you want to see your family again? Like, that's what I was kind of expecting.
Right.
Instead, like, you know, David Harbour's chilling out at his own house and mm-hmm. you know, Florence Pugh shows up to like get him. And then you see John
right.
Walker chilling at his house. And I'm like, okay, this is not what I was expecting. And then they're all sent on a mission separately so that they can all be wiped out. Like,
yeah, it's Suicide Squad.
It is. It's very much Suicide Squad. But they did reveal a mystery character that nobody knew was there, which is
who's that?
Lewis Pullman plays the Sentinel, which is the MCU version of Superman.
Okay.
So depending on what his powers are is kind of a interesting new wrinkle in the MCU. To see whether or not, like, because I don't know too much about the Sentinel as far as, like, his version in the comic books, but I don't know. But he plays, so his character's name is Robert Reynolds, which will be interesting if Deadpool ever meets him. To see if he's like Robert Reynolds. But funny, like in the trailer, he introduces himself as Bob. And the last big thing that Lewis Pullman was in was Top Gun Maverick, where he played a dude named Bob. So I thought that was kind of weird synergy of shit, too. But I'm sure he's making his dad proud.
That's all that matters.
It is. You going to watch the new episode of the Daryl Dixon Show tonight?
No. No, it's just another thing I've given up on.
The season, the first season of that show is now on Netflix, and I tried to watch the first season, and I got half of an episode in, and I was like, yeah, nope, not for me.
No?
No. I just can't do it.
Are they still in Europe?
I don't know if they come back from Europe or not at the end of the first season. Carol's in this one.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. Whether or not they come back or not. It doesn't really have any, like, plot synopsis, so.
We should write one.
Well, you should watch it.
I got enough stuff to watch. I don't have time for that stuff.
Not a Norman Reedus fan?
No. 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 I mean, I don't hate him, but I also won't go out of my way to see him.
So, okay. So, the tagline on Amazon Prime for season two is picking up where the season one left off. Daryl Dixon struggles with his decision to stay in France while Carol fights to find her friend. So I'm wondering if it's like an AB type of story now where they go back and forth between France and America.
Oh, like they never meet.
Maybe
or
not
they don't,
until.
Don't meet a... You know, initially.
Yeah. Last 5 minutes of you know, the last episode.
I did find a new show this week.
Okay.
Called Bad Monkey with Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
It's written by, or it's based on the writing of Carl Hiaasen, who wrote Florida Man, that horrible show. Well, it wasn't a horrible show, but for being taking place in Florida, it took place in South Carolina.
Right.
This is kind of similar. Vince Vaughn is kind of a cop who got into trouble, so he's kind of been suspended. There's a yuppie next door who's trying to sell a house, and Vince keeps keeps fucking with him. Like he gets somebody to plant, like, you know, a beehive in the walls, and the guy's showing it to clients, and, you know, they attack, and it's fun. I'm only like 3 episodes in.
Okay.
It's definitely filmed in Florida.
Okay.
Between the Keys and Miami, which, you know, I like.
Right.
I
mean, the big question is, it's called Bad Monkey. Is there a monkey?
There is a monkey.
There is. Oh, okay.
One of the plots involves a guy whose family owned like a house on the beach, and a real estate investor or whatever bought the house without him knowing it, paid his sister for it, and he's got a monkey.
Okay.
So the monkey's there.
Okay.
And then there's a plot about a young girl who thinks that her stepmother killed her father, and yeah, I mean, it's kind of fun.
Okay.
It's on Apple. Yeah, it's on Apple.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, it shows off the beautiful state of Florida. There's some voodoo.
Of course.
You know, good stuff.
I don't remember a lot of voodoo when I lived down there.
You don't?
No.
You probably remember the the Santeria. People we know who would go to the Botanica.
No, not really.
No?
No.
All right. That's fine.
It's all a blur, man.
It's better that way. I look forward to the day it's a blur for me.
Mm. I'm telling you, we've had conversations, you and me, where you're like, do you remember this? And I'm like, no. And you're like, but you were there. I said, I don't remember at all. I'm just one of those people. I just compartmentalize and it goes away.
All right. If that works for you, I guess that's fine.
I guess. I mean, it's not that it works for me. That's just how it is. It's just how my brain works.
It was all the meth you did while you were down here.
Possibly. I mean, it is Florida.
That's right. Meth head capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can go into a store and buy an assault rifle and ammo, but you can't buy over-the-counter decongestant because you might be making meth.
In your in Florida now, when you go into like the Walmart, have you been to the aisle with the spray paint? Is your spray paint locked up?
No.
Ours is. You can't go to a Walmart in South Carolina. You have to get somebody with a key to open the thing to get spray paint.
Really?
It is the most annoying fucking thing in the world.
Is the underwear and socks locked up?
No.
No?
Lots of the over-the-counter medication is locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else, like, I mean, Lego is locked up here because, you know, people will steal that shit because it's expensive. But, yeah, there are certain things that I guess Walmart in South Carolina has had enough of. And one of those is you can't just go up and buy paint. You have to find somebody with a key to come over, and then you have to show them, and you're not allowed to reach in the case. You have to say no, that one, no, the red next to that one, and then they'll give you the can to take up to check out. It's really fucking weird, man.
It's where we live in.
It sucks.
Yeah, go in and get your weekend huff. You gotta ask for it.
Maybe that's what I should start doing. Maybe I start huffing paint.
Say it's occupational hazard.
Pick the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Yeah.
I'll have to come down and just buy cases of paint from there and bring back with me.
Well, you have to wait for somebody to come to the cash register and approve your purchase. Because you can't just, you know, buy that shit.
Yeah, well.
I saw a commercial today for, I guess it was Costco, where it was all about how you don't have to show your receipt when you leave the store anymore.
Okay.
It's like, really, that's the reason to go shop at your store. Not to buy a truck full of toilet paper, but just so you don't have to show your receipt anymore.
Was that a problem?
Apparently.
Were people like, yeah, I'm giving up my membership because I don't want to show my receipt anymore? Like, that just seems weird.
It's crazy.
When I was in college, I worked at Sam's Club as a cashier. And every once in a while, they would throw you on the door, like if somebody was taking a break or something. And having to go through the fucking receipt and look at everything in the cart was such a pain in the ass. I was like, please don't make me do that. I don't want to be fucking responsible for this. And so, like, one of the things, so I'm in my late teens, early 20s, I guess, at this point. And I'm a cashier, but I'm also a college student, and I don't really care about my job. And one of the things that they would always get on us about was, as a cashier, they wanted you to scan whatever it was and then verify the price on the screen. And so I would scan it and then not even look at the screen, just kind of tilt my head and then go back and scan the next thing and tilt my head. And, like, not doing whatever, like, I was told, because I didn't fucking care. And I would get commended on how diligent I was with, like, making sure everything matched. And I was like, okay, sure. It's like, that's not what I'm doing, but okay. I'm sure
you're making it look good.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Look good for the security cameras.
I contributed to a lot of, you know, theft because I wasn't paying attention.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, was this after the movie theater?
Yes, this was. I worked at the movie theater through high school and up until I left for college. And then in college, I tried to get a job at the movie theater that was in town and they didn't have any openings. So I went and I worked as a cashier.
Yeah.
Because it was super easy to get time off. And because I was in a program where, like, on some of the weekends we'd be like recording bands and having to go do stuff for college, I needed a job that understood that, like, I wasn't there about your job. I was there just as, like, money so that I can go to college. And so it was, there was like an understanding that, like, I'm going to need a lot of time off. And so, like, they were cool with it.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you work in college?
I worked at the library.
Oh. Nerd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. It was an easy gig.
There you go. Were you the guy that stamped the books when they came back, like in Last Crusade?
Oh, no, that was an advanced position. I was just a page. I just put books back on the shelves.
Oh.
And I ran to the basement to get old newspapers.
Was it like a creepy basement?
No, it wasn't bad.
Oh. Did you ever see ghosts down there?
No.
No.
Nope, no spooks.
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
I keep trying
those early jobs.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell my kid that, like, enjoy school even though she hates it. Because you'll get to a point in your life where you're like, God, I wish I was back there.
Mm-hmm.
Things were so much simpler. What was your first job?
The library.
Oh, okay. You didn't work as like a teenager?
That was it.
Oh. What age were you working in the library?
Oh, okay. So long ago. Don't remember.
I mean, in New Jersey, everybody started working at 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No.
So my first job as a 14-year-old was I worked at a boat marina as a gas attendant, which I have to believe was against the law. Like a 14-year-old pumping gas. Like something about that just seems off to me. But that's what I did. And but that was like the first official job. Like I had my dad was an electrician when he wasn't a firefighter, because firefighters all have second jobs. And so right. I was his assistant for fucking years since I was like 12. And, you know, didn't get paid anything, just like, you know, he bought me lunch and shit, but.
Ooh.
The,
well, that's nice of him.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, that was the first, you know, get up at a certain time and we get to the client's house and this is what we're going to do, and kind of showing me like work ethic and shit like that. And then it was a lot of, you know, these wires need to be run in the crawl space. And so you're small enough, get under there.
Nice.
Yeah. So I did a lot of that too. And I figured if I'm going to be miserable, I might as well be actually making money at it.
Right.
And so I got a job at 14.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Working's overrated.
It is. I don't have a dream job because I don't dream about working.
You don't?
No.
You don't live to work?
No.
No?
Nope.
Well, good for you.
So, at my current job, we are they are going away from Microsoft Outlook and for mail, and they're going to a different mail service. And so there's this big thing about changing everything over. And I was told that, you know, here's how you change the stuff for your mail and your phone. And I wrote back and I said, I don't get work mail on my phone. And they wrote back and said, well, you're required to. I said, no, I'm not. I said, that's my personal phone. If you want to supply me with a work phone, I will happily get mail on that. But I'm not getting work mail on my phone. And they were like, oh, okay. So I'm kind of expecting some fallout from that. But, I mean, it's kind of the truth. Like, don't expect me to do work on my off time. They get
exactly.
They get 8 hours of my time a day. No more, no less. I'm here in my office working 8 hours a day. After that, it's my time.
You tell them that?
I have. I've told my boss that. Because they know that I start work at like 7:30. because I don't commute. Like, since I work from home, it's real easy to just like pop on the computer. Like, kids got to go to school, you know, whatever. So I'm around, I just sign on at 7:30. And so I'm usually a couple of minutes late from coming back from picking up the kid from school. So okay. I usually work to 4:45, which is 8 hours. They get me for 8 hours. I don't normally take a lunch. I go, I pick the kid up and I come back. And somebody made a point about me doing like getting off at 4:45. And I was like, but I'm working 8 hours. If you would like me to change that, you can ask me to do that. But like, don't just assume everybody works fucking 9 to 5, 9 to 6, whatever it is.
Right.
Like that's just not me. And my boss is okay with it. So he doesn't care as long as the projects get done. Like, what does it matter? If the project takes me 2 hours, as long as I'm at my desk for 8, what does it matter? I don't know. Who knows?
Cray, cray, cray.
Yeah. All right. You got anything else for this week?
No.
No? All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
It's from Talbots.